This week on Pixel Dreams, Sega admits to making lackluster remakes, Rondo of Blood finally graces our shores, and we talk about that most seminal of video game genres, Walking Right and Punching Shit, also known as the 2D Brawler.
Out of the toilet or something.
And with that, we welcome you, internet denizens, to another fun-filled episode of Pixel Dreams, the video game podcast for beatniks. I am Drew Zimmerman, sitting here comfortably drinking my cup of joe, getting ready to talk about some good old 2D brawlers.
Yep, and I am Eric Grebeck, drinking coffee and about to talk about getting amped up on sugar and beating the shit out of people.
Well, I thought you had to find, like, hamburgers and, like, full rotisserie chickens and garbage cans.
Going to talk about how unsanitary 2D brawlers were.
I mean, those Streets of Rage were just streets of filth, in my opinion.
Streets of hamburgers and hot noodles. Whatever power-ups they had.
Yeah, whatever Japanese eat. I don't even know anymore. Anyway, we have a jam-packed show for you today. First of all, we have some interesting news. Sega apparently finally admits to sucking ass. I love it.
Yeah, there was a recent interview with one of the heads of the Sega division.
This is actually by 1UP.
No, it wasn't 1UP. It was in and Video Games, I believe it's called, magazine. Oh, okay. All right. It was one of the heads of Sega admitting that they basically have treated their old franchises like crap, which I think everyone can agree on. For the most part.
I mean, you know, I'm kind of the opinion that at least they're trying because most companies, you know, let's be honest here, they don't really give two shits about making their old properties. Yeah.
You have your Konamis and your Capcoms, but overall, a lot of those companies aren't all about that. Well, Square Enix.
Yeah.
But that, you know, for the better or the worse, that's the question there.
I mean, I do think it's, you know, it's good because they said they want to recommit themselves to producing, well, quality remakes or repackagings of their older games. Although, really, who cares? Like, honestly, like, who even buys these remakes? Most of these games that come out, I've already played them to death or I have a copy already. Yeah. So it's kind of pointless.
You also have to keep in mind, like, in Japan, Sega treats their franchises a lot better than they do in America. I mean, we have the entire Sega Ages collection for PS2, which is up to what? Like, volume, who knows at this point?
I think volume 9.
Maybe. Yeah. No, it's way higher than that, actually.
Are you serious?
Well,
I thought there was, like, you know, like, it says, like, volume, like, 11 to 16 or whatever. But in America, we have, like, I think 9.
Well, right, yeah. I'm saying in Japan, they treat a lot better. There's a lot more. And some of these releases are really great. Like, for instance, the Treasure Box.
Yeah.
Really, collection.
Because, yeah, these are all, like, you know, reimaginings of these classic games where they update the graphics for PlayStation 2. Right. It's not, you know, 3D polygons or anything like that. But
and not all of them are updated, but at least they're released. I mean, that's saying something. But I don't know. Part of me excited a little bit more for Sonic 4 because maybe Sega is trying to turn around with that. And he was also name dropping Streets of Rage,
which
we're going to talk about later, is up for a possible reimagining, which, you know,
I think I've already given up on Sonic 4.
It's pretty late in the game for that, but everybody would like to see it. But yeah, I mean, this is nothing new for Sega, really. How many times has Sega admitted their failings? And yet they continue to fail over and over again. So, I mean, there comes a point where I just kind of turn it off and say, whatever.
Yeah, Sega really, you know, I know there's a lot of Sega fans out there. You know,
I mean, I'm a huge Sega fan. I'm a huge Sega fan, and I'll stick up for Genesis at least being equal to Super Nintendo any day of the week. But, I mean, Sega has been constant disappointment for the past 15 years.
Yeah, I mean, ever since the demise of the Dreamcast.
Yeah. I mean, the Dreamcast, that was their last gasp.
That was their swan song.
Yeah, even that couldn't save them. And I don't know. I hope Sonic 4 is good because I want Sonic to turn around and I want more of these games to be released.
I hope Sonic 4 doesn't end up looking like a Flash game when it comes out like it does now. That would be great. It'd be a step in the right direction. And you know what? If they could actually just make it a game, not an episode of a game.
I don't think that's there's a chance for that. Well, I don't know. I'm
in a perfect world.
I'll say let's wait and see if Sonic 4 comes out and it's bad. It's Sega up to their old tricks, and I don't really care after that anymore. Right. But I'll give them a last shot with Sonic 4 because this is about the only thing they haven't tried yet.
Yeah. Well, we actually do have some interesting virtual console releases.
Yes, we do. We did have a week hiatus after the exhaustive Mega Man episode.
Yeah. Well, Rondo of Blood has finally graced our shores, as I mentioned in the intro. After
how many years?
17 years.
17 years, yeah.
And when we say 17 years, of course, we're ignoring the PSP version and, as well as the Super Nintendo ports, Dracula X and Vampire's Kiss in Europe.
Because as we talked about when this was first announced and not yet released, the Super Nintendo version is just an incredibly inferior remixed port of it.
Yes, of course.
With a lot less features and gameplay is worse and everything. And then the PSP release just isn't good compared to the original anyway. I mean, it was better than nothing, but now we have something.
I mean, don't get me wrong, the PSP version is good as a Castlevania collection because it's more than just Rondo of Blood.
Right, right.
But yeah, but this version for Virtual Console, it's only $9.
That's a steal.
It is a steal. Because
I mean, when you're considering this game, even today, you're going to pay upwards of $100.
And not to mention the PC engine. You have to buy that
as
well.
That itself, and that is pricey at this point as well.
But I mean, it looks great. Like all the sprites have been up-res to look, you know, for HD TVs and everything else. It looks great.
Yeah, and it's a perfect port.
Yeah,
it's not even translated.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, it's Nintendo. I think that was. I don't know if I would call it a smart move, but it's interesting. It's an interesting move.
Well, I think the rationale behind it is the people that want to play this game have wanted to play it for a long time, and they're going to buy it no matter what. And curious people are going to download it because it's Castlevania.
Yeah, well, Nintendo also has a policy in which they don't want the games that are released on Virtual Console to be altered too much from their original iteration. So that might have something to do with the lack of an English translation.
I think it's a lot of factors, but at the end of the day, they didn't have to translate this.
So why don't you give us a little primer on Rondo of Blood for those? I'm sure they don't exist if you're listening to this podcast, but for those of you who may not have heard of it.
Well, Rondo of Blood is considered by most people to be the apex of 2D classic Castlevania. We're not talking about Symphony of the Night style gameplay.
Although this is a direct predecessor to Symphony
of
the Night.
It is, but it's also a direct sequel to the NES Castlevania.
Right, right.
So it retains the gameplay of those. In fact, the gameplay is more simplistic and more in tone with the classic games than even Super Castlevania for Super Nintendo.
Yeah, I was going to say, actually, it kind of, I think it improves on Castlevania 4 because Castlevania 4, as great of a game as it was, it did suffer from being a little overzealous. The whip in particular is just very annoying. Yeah, the eight directions, it never quite worked right. Mm-hmm. But with Rondo of Blood, it's back to the simple hack and slash 2D side-scrolling action.
Mm-hmm. You've got all your sub-weapons. I mean, the gameplay is just, it's classic Castlevania. You do have multiple paths, but they're secrets.
Right, right.
For, you know, more advanced players, and there's also a secret character that you can play as.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if you play Rondo of Blood, if you're like me, I mean, Symphony of the Night is my favorite Castlevania game, hands down. And we all remember the intro where, you know, have at you!
Right. And that's where in the original Rondo of Blood, obviously, there was no English, so you didn't get the bad voice acting.
But that intro is a direct relation to Rondo of Blood. It's a scene from Rondo of Blood.
Rondo of Blood, while it is a, like we said, sequel to the classic ones, it's also a prequel to what we have today with Castlevania, with the DS games and Symphony of the Night and all that.
I mean, yeah, essentially, if you like Castlevania, this is, if you want to know the belated history of Castlevania, this is definitely worth picking up. And it's also a great game.
It's not even worth picking up to me is a very understated way to say it.
You need to get this.
If you have a Wii, just buy this. Yeah. Just buy it. It's $9, and it's probably in the, I've got to say it's at least the top 10 of virtual console releases.
And I would say this takes precedent over Mega Man 10.
Yeah.
If you're debating which you should buy, Rondo of Blood.
Yeah.
Get that first. Yeah. Worry about Mega Man 10 later.
I'm assuming that you probably haven't played this because 90% of gamers haven't.
Well, the original version.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So pick it up and you can save Mega Man for later because this is great. It's they didn't need to add anything to this. They didn't need to do anything beyond what they did, was just upgrade the graphics ever so slightly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's a phenomenal game. If you like Castlevania, play it. And this is the only thing right now, in my opinion, keeping Castlevania alive in my heart, because it's been years since the last DS release. And then we have that new game coming out, which looks like total crap.
Most of the new Castlevanias, besides the portable releases, happening.
Or how about that Wii fighting game that was released?
Castlevania fighting game. I had not heard
of
that.
Oh, you didn't see that? No. Well, it's I'm not going to even talk about it.
No, it dawns me a little bit. Is it like Richter and... what's the other?
I don't know who's in it, but it's a Castlevania fighting game. It reminded me a lot of the Star Wars Masters of Terra Kasai for PlayStation. Yeah, it's bad. Don't play it. Just ignore everything Castlevania besides this as far as the newish releases.
See, that's kind of an interesting segue, because the next game we're going to talk about that was released prior to Rondo of Blood on Virtual Console is Final Fantasy IV, although it's released as Final Fantasy II, which is what it was released as for Super Nintendo.
So, even, you know, I remember when Final Fantasy VII came out and I was like, finally, Square's fixed this. We're not going to have to deal with this anymore. No. Final Fantasy II, even though it's 4, we're still calling it 2.
Yeah, who does Nintendo think they're fooling? Like, seriously, anyone who is going to play this game knows it's Final Fantasy 4.
Right.
Why are we hiding it?
Yeah, there's no point. I guess maybe Nintendo is trying to attract the classic gamer audience who doesn't know anything about video games, have kind of lost touch.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll see, Final Fantasy 2, whereas Final Fantasy 4 would confuse them. I don't know. But, yes, it was released on March 8th, I believe.
Yeah. I gotta say, this game is not worth picking up, in my opinion, because it is a carbon copy of the Super Nintendo game. I don't know if you've ever played the Super Nintendo game, but it suffers from terrible translation, terrible localization.
So, you know, maybe you want the plot you spoony is, bard to yeah, still be yeah. in the game.
I mean, the plot is just insufferable. Like, it's so convoluted.
Right.
It's so hard to understand what the hell's going on unless you actually look up an external source such as the game manual.
It does the, then it was the novel trick of revealing the true villain, like, at the very end of the game. So everything you did before that was for nothing, essentially.
And, I gotta say, the more recent DS remake is probably a better pick.
Oh, yeah,
if you really want to play this.
I mean, fully upgraded 3D graphics versus the class. If I want to play the classic, that's fine, but I already have the cartridge. And I'm assuming most people do.
There's
also, there's a classic portable release of it, too.
I mean, there have been a couple different iterations, but this game on virtual console is just not worth picking up. It's not worth the $8 or $9.
But don't misinterpret what we're saying here is Final Fantasy 2/4 is a bad game.
No, it's not.
It's actually, this is the first game that got me into RPGs.
Right.
This is the first game that really realized the cinematic presentation that Squaresoft was going for.
Right.
It had little events, scripted events in it. Stuff like that hadn't really happened in RPGs before. I mean, there's the beginning of the game where the king sends you on a mission to the village with a box. And then after you complete the mission and think that you slayed a monster and saved the village, the box opens and releases monsters on the village to burn it to the ground.
Yeah.
So, I remember that had a great effect on me as a kid. I mean, games back then didn't really have complex plots like that. Or even a plot where maybe you were questioning if you were doing the right thing.
See, yeah, I got into RPGs for a similar reason. I just liked, it was more interactive. It was more like an interactive novel than a game some of the times. So, yeah, Final Fantasy IV is a great game, but
I mean, if you play
the original, or better yet, the DS remake, honestly.
I mean, obviously, if you've never played it before and you don't have the comforts of a old school Super Nintendo, sure, get it. But otherwise, no. Yeah. I mean, if you played this game, there's no reason to download this.
Yeah. All right, well, it's time to walk right and punch shit, because we are going to talk about some 2D brawlers. So yeah, we're talking about 2D beat 'em ups, a genre that hasn't really been served in recent memory.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting genre to talk about for me because it's one of those old school retro genres that really isn't getting any love.
No, not really.
I mean, whereas, you know, shmups are still released.
RPGs, obviously, are still, so many people love traditional, the old RPGs.
Traditional console RPGs are still around. Of course, platformers, new Super Mario Brothers. Where's our new Streets of Rage?
That's true. Well, we're going to talk about that because there is potentially a new Streets of Rage.
Right.
But yeah, the 2D brawler definitely hasn't gotten much love lately, but there was a time where the 2D brawler was king of the arcade.
Back in the mid to late 80s, 2D brawlers dominated the arcades. I mean,
even into the 90s, really.
Yeah, up until the 90s, up until Street Fighter 2 arrived, and then everyone kind of forgot about
it. Ruined everything!
Yeah, but 2D brawlers were one of the most popular genres, and it's easy to see why. First of all, what's more fun than playing a game that's mimicking martial arts action movies?
Right, that's true.
Okay, what's more fun than that? Maybe playing with a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe playing with two. Maybe playing with three friends.
Up to same six.
Time? Yeah. I mean, as a kid, what is not more fun than playing with four of your friends, beating the crap out of everything on the screen, and not really having to think too much about it because
it's so mindless.
Yeah, it was a very mindless genre.
Yeah. But, you know, it started off quite humbly with Kung Fu Master.
Yes, Kung Fu Master, which most people would probably be more familiar with as Kung Fu on the NES.
Right.
Mm-hmm. This was developed by Irem, who is more known for R-Type series, I would say, and a lot of other games besides this. Mm-hmm. But they did create the first 2D side-scrolling brawler, and it was very primitive, of course.
There's
only one plane of movement, right to left. There's no...
On the NES version, there's only one button for, you know, punching and kicking.
There's only... punch. You can punch, kick, jump kick, duck and punch. That's about it.
Yep. Interestingly enough, it was actually based on a movie that was starring Jackie Chan, but they couldn't get the rights to produce
it. Yeah. I heard about that before.
Yeah. And the interesting thing, a lot of these early brawlers, like, you know, Double Dragon, Kung Fu Master, Renegade, they're all kind of loosely based on Hong Kong cinema.
Yes.
So that was really interesting as well. You know, it's all about tales of redemption, revenge, you know, fighting against evil. And Growl, you're fighting against poachers.
Right,
so.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about that in their little oddity section.
Yes, of course. But Kung Fu Master started it all, for the most part.
It started it all. It was fairly popular in arcades, and people took notice.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, there was much room for improvement. And also back then, another reason this genre was really popular is because you didn't have a lot of human representation in video games.
Yeah.
Especially back in 1984, so it's quite a revolution to be controlling a character that kind of looks like you.
Yeah, and also it had, I mean, obviously these aren't really grounded in reality. You know, there's not roving gangs of vigilantes in the streets of most American cities. But it was more of a realistic setting.
Right. As far as video games are concerned back then, I mean, we'll talk about it a little bit later, but when I stumbled upon Final Fight in 1989, that was very mature and realistic looking for a video game. You know, there's blood, there's violence.
And, you know, it takes place in a city.
Yeah, I mean, Double Dragon opens up with, you know, your girlfriend getting kicked in the stomach and kidnapped. I mean, it was, you know, pretty adult for the time.
Yeah.
So we're talking about Kung Fu Master, very primitive.
Mm-hmm.
Now, fair enough for 1984, and even to this day, it's kind of fun to play still, which I think is another reason why these games are fun to talk about is because they do still hold up.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's fairly simple.
Right. They're not meant to be played for longer than, say, 20 minutes at a time.
Yeah, it's definitely a quick fix type of genre.
But moving on from Kung Fu Master, we then had what was probably the first major success for the 2D brawler genre, which was Renegade, released by Taito.
Yeah, this was the first game to actually introduce 8-directional control.
Mm-hmm.
So, it gave you a little more freedom.
This was when you look back at this game, this was the first one that started to have hints of what you think of today with the 2D brawler. It had being able to move around on the screen up and down to avoid enemy attacks.
Yeah.
Multiple enemies attacking you from multiple directions. There's different moves depending on which way you're facing.
Right.
all of that was first in there. The bosses at the end. I mean, that was in Kung Fu Master as well, but you know, it was a lot more similar to what you would think of today with Double Dragon and Final Fight. But and also when we're talking about Renegade, it's part of the Kunio-kun series,
right? Of course,
which that Taito is famous for.
Which Renegade, Double Dragon. It was River City.
Well, not Ransom. Double Dragon.
What was it then?
River City Ransom. Oh, yeah. Super Dodgeball.
Mm-hmm.
All those. There's a slew of these in Japan. It was a really successful franchise. But when Renegade came to America, they sort of Americanized it, in my opinion, kind of for the worse, because it looks like you're fighting the village people.
Right.
most of the gangs. I think they were going for the Warriors, you know, the 70s movie about gang
in
warfare.
New York, yep. Mm.
Street warfare, what have you. It kind of looks like they're going for that, but it just ends up coming across kind of homoerotic.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you know, for its time, Renegade was cool and all, but not great.
Mm-hmm.
Greatness, however, a year later was achieved by Technos releasing Double Dragon.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is the game that arguably popularized the genre of beat 'em ups.
Oh yeah, I mean, I really, there's no argument about it.
Yeah, it's more interesting too because it focuses more on weapons, and you know, you have missions instead of levels, and
right.
It's a more complete package,
right? Whereas, you know, Renegade introduced the directional movement and all that. Double Dragon went a lot further with it.
They went above and beyond.
Right, you could jump to different areas of the level, kind of ambush enemies, you know,
right.
Jump up and then fall back down on them. There were weapons that you could pick up to use, you know, nunchucks, knives, bats.
Right, exactly. This game had a ton of weapons for its time.
The levels are really varied, whereas in Renegade, it's just sort of like, oh, you're in a subway. Oh, now you're on the docks.
Mm-hmm.
It has a kind of a feeling of progression.
Right.
Because you're following this gang guy that stole your girlfriend, Marion. Right. Well, I guess it's the Dragon Master,
yeah.
The Shadow Master, whatever.
And, of course, Double Dragon. I mean, that really, that's when this the whole 2D beat-em-up genre finally took off. Because after that, you know, you had Bad Dudes,
right.
Battletoads,
yeah.
Double Dragons, and Battletoads. You know,
yeah.
Like, just all kinds of different
Double
games.
Dragon was a wildly successful franchise. I mean,
it was ported to, like, seriously every system
that
was available at the time.
Yeah, 1, 2, and 3 in the arcades. You had ports of all those and across the board on all kinds of different consoles.
Mm-hmm.
You had a movie. You had a cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
It was very popular for its time.
Yeah.
But one thing about Double Dragon, and this is another reason I think 2D brawlers were very popular genre, but not so much after, you know, mid to late 90s.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about arcades versus consoles. The ports for Double Dragon, none of them were really...
Yeah.
The Sega Master System wasn't too bad,
right,
if I remember.
Right.
But, yeah, the Double Dragon had very... poorly done ports. Even the NES port isn't that great,
right,
compared to the arcade.
Although
so,
that's the port that most people are familiar with, I feel.
Oh, of course. I mean,
yeah.
When we're talking retro games, the NES version of any game is going to be
right.
People,
yeah, and that's the thing.
Think about
most of these beat 'em ups we're talking about. Like, they originated in the arcade, but they were almost all of them were well, not almost all of them, but
yeah.
The original ones are almost all ported
right.
to the 8-bit system,
but with varying results.
Yes,
usually
yes.
For the worse.
Right.
But yeah, Double Dragon, then we go on to Double Dragon 2, which, in my opinion, the NES port is better than
really?
The arcade version.
And why is that?
Well, when you play the arcade version, it's sort of like a crappier version of Double Dragon. It's not really much different or improved in any way.
Right.
Whereas the NES version, there's a lot more variety in the gameplay. There's levels where you're... on a helicopter, you have to knock the guy out of the door.
Right.
You know, you're in a factory on a conveyor belt avoiding spikes. There's some platforming elements, and it's also one of the more fun two-player simultaneous NES
right.
games. Back then, there weren't a lot of... That's another reason why these types of games are popular, too, is back then there weren't a lot of co-op games.
Right, exactly. And, you know, I mean, it was more fun, like you said, than... Beating the
yeah.
shit out of people with your friends.
Would you rather, you know, even though obviously Super Mario Brothers is a great game, would you rather sit there and take turns with your friend playing the same levels?
Oh,
or would
no.
you rather play the levels at the same time, team yeah. up with your friend, and
right.
do things together?
Yes, but these seminal NES games really kind of set the mood for the golden era, in my opinion, of fighting games.
right, so now we're getting into, as Drew referred to, the golden age of the 2D brawler, which began, I'd say, inarguably, again, with Final Fight, which originally was planned to be a sequel to Street Fighter. It was called Street Fighter 89, actually. But it was finally released as its own game, and it was Capcom's first foray into the 2D brawler genre, and it basically improved on everything Double Dragon had done.
Right.
You still have the two-player simultaneous play, but the sprites are bigger, all the characters have more moves, the characters are all completely different from each other. Just everything about it was an improvement, and it was a revolution when it came out in arcades. I couldn't, like, it was very impressive, the graphics, the animation. I'd never seen anything like Final Fight when it first came out, and that was a huge reason why it was so popular.
Right. Yeah, Final Fight, basically you control Mayor, who is taking his city back by force.
Yeah. former, actually the prototype for Jesse Ventura, the first professional wrestling politician, Mike Hagger, mayor of Metro City, who, instead of getting the police to save his kidnapped daughter, I guess the story of all these games is the police are too corrupt
to stop
anything, so you have to take matters in your own hands, like a Death Wish or something.
Yeah, you know, this is a common theme throughout most of these beat-em-up games, but yeah, Final Fight, really, they're kind of like the Ford Motor Company of beat-em-ups.
Right.
They didn't invent it, but they refined the genre to a great level.
Final Fight is the Model T.
Yeah, I would have to say so. But, yeah, I mean, there's really not that much to say about it. You know,
if you haven't played
Final Fight...
Everyone has played Final Fight at some point, and Final Fight also had tons of ports. It was one of the first Super Nintendo games to come out, and, you know, everyone wanted to play this game.
Right.
So it was a huge launch title for the Super Nintendo. The only problem was they screwed it up.
Yeah, the Super Nintendo version, it's not terrible, but it is far away from the level of greatness that the arcade produced.
I mean, as far as an arcade to home conversion, this was very, like, this let you know that arcade had finally come home.
Right.
Because as far as graphics and everything goes, it's all there. The gameplay is all there, but there's only two characters. You can only be the Mike Hagger that we mentioned, or Cody, who's the martial artist.
Right.
They don't have Guy in the game,
mm-hmm.
who people know as like the ninja character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Final Fight.
And there's no two-player co-op in the Super Nintendo version, which really kills a lot of the
fun. It's a big letdown because, as we said, if you're not playing to beat 'em up with a friend, it's just not as fun.
And I remember not knowing that when I bought the game initially as a child and being really disappointed that there was no two-player. I couldn't believe that there wasn't a two-player version. Yeah. But Final Fight still was a huge success for Nintendo and Capcom, the port I'm speaking of, obviously.
And it kind of it made Nintendo seem as... Because before then, the Genesis was popular mostly for its arcade
ports. Right. I mean, that's the first thing that made people take notice with the Genesis. They saw Altered Beast, they saw Strider, and said, wow,
Outrun,
this is the system I need to have.
Yeah, so this kind of legitimized Super Nintendo. It made them, you know, stand up as saying, hey, we can bring the arcade home too.
Mm-hmm. We can do everything. Don't believe what Sega says. Nintendo with Final Fight. Unfortunately, Nintendo can't do two at once.
Yeah,
and that was a huge mistake, in my opinion, and Sega really capitalized on that because Sega needed an answer to Final Fight. I mean, we had your Golden Axe.
But Altered Beast is also a beat-em-up.
Yeah, it is a beat-em-up. We had those, but they were not really as good as Final Fight. But Sega decided to do something about it. They wanted to strike back, and they did with the original Streets of Rage.
Which, in my opinion, is... I like Streets of Rage better than Final Fight, personally.
Yeah.
It's got more characters, more moves.
A lot more moves.
The environments are more destructible, you know. It's just overall, in my opinion, a more complete package of what a brawler should be.
Yeah. I would tend to agree with that. There's some problems with the original Streets of Rage. The main thing is just the graphics. It kind of looks more like Double Dragon. Everything's smaller.
Right.
The enemies are smaller. There's no life bars to tell you, you know, when you defeated the bosses or the enemies or anything like that. So it is an improvement in Final Fight in just about every way except for presentation, but Sega also fixed that with the most classic 2D brawler. It has everything you could ask for.
Yeah.
Streets of Rage 2.
Yes, this came out just a year after the original Streets of Rage, mm-hmm. and it was a great improvement on its predecessor. Right. Streets of Rage 2, in my opinion, is a quintessential 2D brawler.
Yeah, there's no question about it.
I mean, it's just, you know, it's littered with, like, you know, cool enemies. There's
the level design is awesome.
Yeah, yeah. You know, there's I love how they have, like, a mid-boss
mm-hmm.
in pretty much every level.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, overall, it's a great game. And I also love how, you know, this is the names of the characters that you're fighting.
Oh, yeah.
the gangsters that you're taking down.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, that actually, that was one of the things I always liked about these games was seeing all the names they gave to the enemies.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember some of them right now.
I can't off the top of my
head. Y signal, R signal. Like,
yeah.
What does that even mean?
Yeah.
But that's the kind of people you have to fight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Streets of Rage.
We've got your two-player co-op. We've got your tons of variety in the gameplay with all the moves. And, of course, the first thing probably everyone thinks of when they think of Streets of Rage, the soundtrack.
Oh, the soundtrack is unbelievable.
By Yuzo Koshiro, who is a very well-respected Japanese electronic artist
mm-hmm.
to this day.
Right.
And he even was at the time, and you could tell because that soundtrack, it's one of the classic 16-bit soundtracks.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, even despite being on the Genesis, which, mm-hmm. as we've discussed before, had a pretty inferior sound chip
yes.
when compared to the Super Nintendo. But
it did, but if you took advantage of it in the right way, it could sound just as good, and you could tell with certain games like Streets of Rage 2.
Right.
It's, the music is adapted to the sound chip to sound good.
Mm-hmm. Well, moving on, because like I said, we can't really talk a whole lot in depth about these games because
right.
they all basically have the same premise.
Right. When we're discussing basically refinements, improvements, and the individual aesthetics surrounding these games.
Yeah.
But, you know, Streets of Rage 2 came out. It was a huge coup for Sega. It was hugely popular. It was one of those games you had to have for the Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
It was the Final Fight killer. I mean, we did have Final Fight 2 on Super Nintendo,
mm-hmm.
which improved on Final Fight 1. It finally had two-player co-op.
Right.
There was more variety in the enemies. The levels were more Streets of Rage 2 styled, where there's little events that happen
mm-hmm.
and destructible environments.
Right. Well, like I said, yeah. Streets of Rage, quintessential Final Fight.
Final Fight 2, it still didn't match up quite to Streets of Rage 2. And Streets of Rage 3... So there's a lot of debate about which is better.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, Streets of Rage 2 is probably the best, but Streets of Rage 3 is no slouch. I mean, it did contain a lot of improvements. There's branching storyline paths, so there's a lot of replayability. There's extra characters. You get 4 this time.
Right, yeah. And, you know, it's basically Streets of Rage 2, but bigger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is
necessarily... Well, you did get 4 in Streets of Rage 2, but...
But, you know, overall, it's just a bigger game. It's more... It's more ambitious, I guess you could say.
Right. There's
but...
more to do. Some people prefer Streets of Rage 2 because they think the soundtrack's better.
Mm-hmm.
They like the more straightforward style of play.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you might as well just play both of them.
I think
they're both great.
I think what I hate the most about Streets of Rage 3, though, is that fucking kid on rollerblades.
Yeah, well, he's in Streets of Rage 2 as well.
Oh, is he? I thought that was Streets.
Yeah. He in the story, he's the brother of the guy that was kidnapped
from
the original Adam.
I just hate that little like breakdancing movie does where he just like
spins
on his head and hits everyone with his skates.
That's one thing about these 2D brawlers. They're very they're products of the times.
Yeah,
I mean,
for
when
sure.
you're fighting the enemies, it's the Japanese ideal of what American criminal is, which apparently is like a really flamboyant David Bowie looking punk rocker.
Yeah, as I said, they all have like mohawks and leather jackets.
Right,
and,
you know, you're fighting like members of Guns N' Roses. And that's what they look like. And, you know, Streets of Rage 2 with the rollerblading character, again, dating itself.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it was a fun little innovation, and it was a fun character to play.
Right. Well, Streets of Rage was great and all, but I want to move on to something a little different. I don't think this game gets quite as much credit as it deserves, but Knights of the Round.
Oh, yeah.
Knights of the Round, a hack and slash 2D brawler for Super Nintendo. Basically, you know, you're King Arthur. You're fighting to save your kingdom or whatever. I don't know. But it added not necessarily an RPG element, but more of like an adventuring element to it.
Right.
It felt more like, you know, a classic medieval, like I guess you could say like a movie or a story than your typical crime ridden city that you have to.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's one reason, for instance, Golden Axe stood out compared to Double Dragon. I mean, it wasn't much different from Double Dragon.
No.
The graphics, even, and the way the game played was very similar. But it stood out because of its theme. And Knights of the Round, that was sort of like Capcom's final fight to Sega's Golden Axe.
Yeah, sort of. But yeah, Knights of the Round is a great game that's often overlooked. It's, like I said, more focused on weapons. There's not quite as many moves or power-ups and all that. But it's still a very well put together game that I think a lot of people overlook. As well, another game that's also overlooked that took place in this era, the golden era, Cadillacs and Dinosaurs.
Based on a cartoon.
Yeah.
It was based on it was a semi-popular cartoon in the early
90s. Yeah, I mean, I guess so.
It was during that whole period where there was, you know, Ninja Turtles, Biker Mice from Mars, Cowboys of Moo Mesa, and we had Cadillacs and Dinosaurs. There was all kinds of stuff like that on morning cartoons of the time. And, you know, that one thing about 2D brawlers that I really liked is back in the era of every licensed game was awful.
Yeah.
The licensed brawlers are all fun.
Yeah, you got Batman Returns, X-Men, Turtles in Time, which we're going to talk about here in a second, but that's one of the best 2D brawlers.
Yeah.
That's a 2D brawler at the peak of awesomeness.
And when we're talking Cadillacs and Dinosaurs, it's another Capcom game. And in this game, it's a lot like Knights of the Round or any of these other Capcom beat-em-ups, but the setting sets it apart.
Yeah, you can ride dinosaurs.
You can ride dinosaurs and pick up guns and shoot people.
Yeah, blow up cars. All, you know, just good old-fashioned.
The graphics
fun.
Are very well animated.
Oh, the graphics are great. The sprites are huge, very crisp. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we're talking about the arcade version. I don't know if Cadillacs and Dinosaurs actually got a port to anything else.
Not that I can remember. It might have.
It might have, but I'm sure the port was not as good.
But another underrated Capcom beat-em-up, in my eyes, The Punisher.
Yes, The Punisher is a very... It's not. Yeah, like you said, it's another licensed game that actually didn't suck.
Yeah, I mean, back when we were playing licensed superhero games, it's like, oh, this is fun, but I wish it was an actual good game.
Right, of course, yeah.
You know, I mean, we wanted to play as our comic book heroes and everything, but we usually didn't get a chance to really get into their shoes. But The Punisher really does that well. I mean, there's so many guns and weapons you can pick up in the game. You can shoot. You can choose to shoot people or just walk up and punch them in the face.
Right.
It's very violent in a really good way. There's a lot of blood flying everywhere.
And it contains a lot of elements from the comic book. You know, like, that's the other thing about licensed games. A lot of them in this era just threw a bunch of crap in there that didn't really necessarily relate to the original franchise.
But this game, it contained a lot of the enemies the Punisher fights in the comics. It has, you know, Kingpin in it. You can be Nick Fury if you're player two.
Right.
To team up with the Punisher, which again is from the comics. And it did get a port, a pretty good port on the Sega Genesis. The only problem with it is just like Final Fight. There's no two-player.
Right. And this was on Super Nintendo as well, though.
I believe there was a Super Nintendo port. I always played the Sega Genesis one for some reason.
Yeah.
I think that one might have come out first, or maybe it was more readily available. Mm. But yeah, The Punisher, another good one. And really all these Capcom one brawlers are good.
Right. I'd have to say so. Yeah, when you're talking about 2D brawlers, I think a name that gets brought up constantly is Konami.
Well, of course.
Because Konami, they just dominated the scene for a long time.
And there was good reason for that. I mean, Konami and Capcom were probably the two biggest Japanese rivals of that era. You know, when you think NES, Super Nintendo, arcade, you're thinking of Capcom and Konami a lot of the time.
Right.
And Konami went a completely different route from Capcom. They decided, hey, who do kids want to play as? Oh, superheroes, Ninja Turtles, The Simpsons. Let's just license the shit out of these 2D brawling games and produce good games, but with these licenses that are really going to appeal to the younger players.
Yeah, I think the first one I really want to talk about, because this is probably my favorite beat 'em up ever, Simpsons Arcade.
Right.
I mean, it's
which we talked about on the first episode.
Yeah, we did, on the very first episode. But Simpsons Arcade is, you know, it's just a phenomenal game. You can play as four players, and the story is batshit crazy.
Mm-hmm. It makes no sense.
Developed by, you know, I love those good old Japanese developers. Yeah. They just... Oh, well, we have a franchise. Let's just make up some bullshit and run with it.
Right, and that's what they did. But, I mean, still, they managed to really capture that Simpsons aesthetic. It's so well animated and fun to look at, even now.
And, you know, the weapons are great, you know, for you get to play as Super Bart.
Yeah,
you know.
And it really, gameplay-wise, is really simple. There's not a lot of pickups. I mean, there is stuff to pick up and throw at enemies, but... Overall, it's really straightforward, but that's what Konami was good at.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't really include a lot of advances so much in the genre, as they just managed to refine everything that you liked about it while including these characters that you wanted to play as.
Right, and you know the thing about Simpsons Arcade, as much as I love it, God, that is a short game.
Yeah,
that is such a short game.
Actually, all of the Konami arcade beat-em-ups are pretty criminally short.
Except for Turtles in Time, which is actually fairly lengthy.
Especially on the Super Nintendo, with all the added content.
Right.
But yeah, Simpsons Arcade, and of course, the classic, again, another game that we talked a little bit about, although we talked more about the NES port of it, the original Ninja Turtles arcade game, which came out in 1989.
Yeah, that is...
That was the first game to me. I mean, like, when I went to the arcade, I saw four kids my age playing Ninja Turtles in my mind. I think I had a seizure when I first saw it. I mean, it looked just like the cartoon. It had the voices. Mm-hmm. It had everything. It was so fun to play.
Yeah, the Turtles for arcade, I have to say, yeah, I remember when I was a kid, that game would always be packed. I would never get a chance to play it.
Oh, no, you would have to wait in line.
Yeah.
I remember getting in fights with kids over stepping in because they weren't playing good and I thought I could do better. Like, oh man, so many good memories.
Let me handle Donatello. All right, you just go ahead
yeah,
and spritz
it. That was my thing. Donatello. Yeah, Donatello. I'm Donatello, bitch. Not you.
He's the one who has the big staff, right? The original Turtles.
The original Turtles arcade game, and then Konami followed that up with X-Men. Yeah. Another licensed property, and while it wasn't really so much based on the wildly popular Saturday morning cartoon, it was X-Men, so you could basically just say it was.
Yeah,
you
know? Of course. I mean, and
it took from the same source material.
Yeah, and X-Men, you know, it's a lot like all the others.
Right.
But you did get to play up to six players.
Yeah, that was X-Men's huge innovation. It had a monster cabinet with two different screens, which I don't think I've ever found a working version anymore.
Yeah.
I think it was pretty faulty and hard to maintain. I could be wrong, but yeah, I mean... Two screens and six players at the same time.
It's ridiculous.
That was something you were not going to see at home.
So much mayhem.
Yeah.
I mean,
the game, again, just like Simpsons, it's pretty simplistic, but when you're playing with six other people and beating the crap out of everything on the screen and you're Wolverine or Nightcrawler, you're not really thinking about how simple the game is. Especially because these were designed for arcade, where you're just going to be standing there plunking down maybe $5 over a 20-minute period and then moving on.
Yeah.
So it's more about making an impression with Razzle Dazzle. Although, in some ways, X-Men was a little half-assed. I remember Magneto showing up and saying, X-Men, welcome to die.
Oh, yeah. The voice acting in that was great.
X-Chickens.
That game, you know, it's up there with Turtles in Time.
I am Magneto, master of magnets. There's a lot of great sound bites from this game, and you can tell that it was made by Japanese people who don't have a good firm grasp of what X-Men is all about, but they managed to really include tons of X-Men characters, popular characters at the time.
Yeah, and you know what? Even though there's so much going on the screen, it gets so hectic, the game never really slows down.
Right. And just, although, we talked about Simpsons Arcade getting a very little-known port on home computer systems that wasn't very
good. Commodore, actually.
Yeah. X-Men, this was the game everyone wanted on home systems, just because it was around the same time as Turtles in Time.
Right, yeah.
And everyone wanted this. Everybody. It never happened. Never happened. And that's because Konami did not have home licensing rights to X-Men. So they couldn't release a home port, which is a true shame. Yeah. But
and of course, you know, whatever. There are X-Men games for Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis. They don't. Yeah, you know,
none of them are as fun as.
They can't hold a candle to the arcade game.
Some of the X-Men Genesis games aren't too bad.
Right.
But yeah, they're not anything like the arcade. They're not, you know, 6-player co-op and all the bells and whistles that are included with that. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, well, speaking of superheroes, another good Konami beat-em-up that actually was ported to Super Nintendo and Sega Genesis was Batman Returns.
Yes. Now, this you're thinking is Super Nintendo version only, though.
Oh, wait, is it not Genesis?
The Genesis version was developed by Sega.
That's right. Well, the Super Nintendo version of Batman Returns was surprisingly good.
Yeah, it was. It was very good. The graphics are awesome.
Yeah, this is actually probably one of my favorite Christmas games, I would have to say.
Yeah, they, you know, I love the aesthetic of Batman Returns. Actually, I like that more than the movie itself.
Yeah, well.
All the snow and everything. But yeah, they really incorporate the look of the movie into this game. It looks and feels like the movie. And one thing I really liked about it was all the interaction.
Yeah.
Included. You can grab enemies, throw them through plate glass windows in the background. And do all kinds of crazy Batman-related moves.
Yeah, the environments were very interactive, destructible.
It follows the plot of the movie and all that. Who cares? But the game itself is good. It also includes some driving stages, which, you know, not a 2D brawler. But it's good of Konami to include a little variety. And I appreciated the grappling hook, being able to swing around and kick enemies and all that.
That was innovative,
It's all good stuff. And the only thing it didn't have was 2-player co-op, but considering you're Batman and there's no Robin or anything.
Yeah,
in the movie,
who are you going to play Robin? Who needs Robin?
Alfred? Yeah, I guess that would.
You never know. Maybe Alfred can kick some ass.
I mean, it would have been maybe nice to have them and try to include like Catwoman as a secret or something. But whatever.
Yeah,
it's a good game. Pretty underrated.
You know? Of course.
A lot of people don't really think about it, but I remember renting this game and having tons of fun with it.
Well, just remember, you want Batman Returns if you're going to play this, not Batman Forever.
Yeah.
Because that game is horrible.
We're probably not going to talk about it, though. That is sort of a brawler. It's more like Mortal Kombat, though.
It's got the digitized graphics.
Yeah, that game was a disaster.
Terrible. Oh, my God. Batman just looks like such a pussy, too.
Don't play that. Just play Batman Returns.
Yeah.
But, we're talking about all these games, X-Men, Simpsons, even the original Ninja Turtles, but who can forget probably the apex of Konami's licensed brawlers, Turtles in Time.
Oh, yes. This game will go down the history books as one of the best home console versions of a beat-em-up.
Right from the intro.
Pizza power!
Pizza power!
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine a more rousing call to arms for a 10-year-old boy seeing that in the arcades?
It makes you want to kick some ass.
It does, and you certainly did in the game, too.
Yeah, Turtles in Time, wow. Still to this day. I've been to parties where, you know, people are drunk playing this game.
Right, this is one of those really fondly remembered retro games that almost everyone knows about and everyone wants to play if they see it.
Yeah, the arcade version, when did that come out? Probably like 1993, 1997?
I think 92 or 93, around there.
Yeah, and it was definitely an improvement on the original Turtles arcade game, for sure.
Yeah, much more like the animated cartoon,
right?
Graphically. There's a lot more just frames of animation, just everything. Your character itself has more personality and is moved. And the turtles themselves are a little bit more individualized. They're still pretty similar to each other, but
mm-hmm.
they have different moves, and you have a lot more variety. There's finally ways to throw the enemies at your will.
Yeah, I love
towards the screen, yeah, which was a really
and you know, of course, you had to actually do that to beat Shredder,
right? In the awesome. In the Super Nintendo port, which
yeah,
the arcade version was pretty good, but for one of the first times ever that I can remember, the home port for Super Nintendo was better than the arcade.
I'd say so. It had expanded content.
I mean, yeah, you had to forfeit the four players simultaneous, but right. you got a bunch more additional content as far as levels, a couple more additional enemies and bosses.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, the graphics didn't really suffer that much.
No, they didn't. Yeah, I mean, you know, the animation is a little bit less.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's less frames, but overall, it looks great.
Yeah, and yeah, like I said, it's a seminal game. The great plot, you know, you're traveling through time right. with the turtles.
Yeah, a very nonsensical plot.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
Shredder or Krang, I guess, and Shredder take the Statue of Liberty. Why I don't know. And they put it inside the Technodrome. Yeah. And why I don't know. Maybe they should have just used the Technodrome to attack the city instead.
But yeah, whatever. This game is very visceral, though. You know, there's something about being able to fight a ninja right and a dinosaur that really kind of turns me on.
Or fighting ninjas on a pirate ship.
Yeah, that's another great level, yeah. Yeah.
No pirates to be found, but lots of ninjas.
Ninja ship.
And rock soldiers.
Yeah. But yeah, Turtles in Time. If you haven't played mm-hmm. Turtles in Time, I don't know why you're listening to this show.
Yeah, if you haven't played Turtles in Time, I don't think you've played video games very much. I mean, especially before 1995, before the PlayStation era.
Yeah.
I mean, and it was also a Super Nintendo exclusive. And
right.
Made huge amounts of cash.
Yeah.
Obviously. The Genesis did receive a sort of pseudo remixed version, the Manhattan Project.
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever played that one.
No, I didn't actually. But also, speaking of, you know, different versions of it, you know, the Super Nintendo had the, because in Turtles in Time, there was a extra option where you could play it as a fighting game. You could play against each other, and then
I remember that
Konami actually released for the Super Nintendo a tournament fighting edition.
Yes, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Tournament Fighters.
Yeah.
Which actually, the Super Nintendo version of that game is pretty good.
Yeah, it is
a pretty solid tournament game.
Yeah, I actually like that a lot. And when I was a kid, it was kind of cool because I really liked the Power Rangers beat 'em up game, and they also had a game they released that was just you fighting in the Power Rangers mechs against each other.
And yeah, that's one thing about this episode that makes it incredibly difficult. There's so many 2D brawlers, so many subpar ones, so many good ones no one ever played, so many licensed ones.
It's hard, it's hard to get it all in.
And I guess in some ways it's kind of easy to see why this genre fell out of popularity. It really burned itself out.
Yeah, it did. I mean, plus, like,
so many. I mean, just in the arcades alone, and then when you include all the Super Nintendo and Genesis ports and also original versions of these games.
Yeah, and it also phased out just probably due to lack of originality. I think that was a big part of it.
I mean,
you know, most of these games, there's really not much of a difference.
I mean, for the sake of argument, once you get to around Streets of Rage 3, there's really nowhere to go. I mean, that had everything. It had four different characters. They all had their own moves.
Mm.
It had, like, three secret characters in the game.
Right.
It had branching storyline paths. I mean, what else could they possibly do with the freaking genre at that point? There really wasn't much else they could do.
No.
Really.
But, yeah, Turtles in Time, seminal beat-em-up. But let's move on to, as we were talking about, some of the more underrated beat-em-ups.
Right, we're about to get into that segment before we leave the Konami realm of license. I mean, we're going to talk about a few more Konami oddities. But,
right, yeah.
You know, I talked about how Konami licensed the shit out of these platformers to appeal to certain gamers. They were really smart about it.
No, they were. They knew the market.
Yeah, they knew their market, so much so that they went to Europe and released what I guess could be considered maybe their version of like a Simpsons arcade or something like that, a cultural phenomena in Asterix.
Oh, yes, of course, Asterix. Based on a French graphic novel.
Right, a very, very, very long-running and popular comic strip in France.
I mean, I really don't know much about this game.
I've played it, and it's good. It's a good game. It's very similar to any of the other Konami 2D platformers. Sure. I mean, or 2D beat 'em up. Sorry, it has that, you know, that Konami seal on it. It's very, if anything, it's kind of like X-Men, if I remember right.
There's like, yeah,
attack
like,
enemies
like,
while they're on the ground, like yeah. in X-Men. And,
yeah, I mean, there's really not much to say about it. There's like three playable characters.
I mean, you know, this is one of those things where there's sort of a cultural divide because I've never heard of Asterix. Don't really care about him. No. So when I play this game, it's like, well, I'd much rather be playing X-Men or Simpsons or Ninja Turtles because it's the same freaking thing. It's just a different license.
And that's another thing about it. It's more about if you like the property that is being transferred to this.
Right. I mean, let's face it. If Turtles in Time, even as good of a game as it is, if it just had some generic characters in it.
Yeah. It wouldn't
be as good.
No one
ever heard of. No one would probably remember it or care about it right now. It'd be one of those underrated gems.
Yeah, but yeah, a lot of these games are just, you know, the same game with the character swap
but
and a couple new moves.
Asterix, you know, don't get me wrong, it's a good game. If you like the Konami brawlers, you'll like it. So, you know, give it a shot.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, yeah, moving on to the more underrated games I was talking about earlier. Battle Circuit.
Yes.
A very bizarre beat-em-up for the arcade.
Mm-hmm. This is another Capcom game. Right. And it came out really late. 1997 in the arcades, and that's probably the main reason why no one's ever heard of it.
Yeah.
By that time, not only were arcade on the wane as far as marketability, profitability, also the genre is dead in the water.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, if somebody in 1997 walks in and sees this game, you're probably not going to care about it.
Yeah, but it's very bizarre. You know, people riding ostriches, bizarre-looking character animations.
It's similar as far as graphics and the character designs and everything to another underrated Capcom game, but a little bit more well-known, Captain Commando.
Oh, yeah.
I always kind of felt like this might be like a spiritual sequel to that, because the characters are, like Captain Commando, really strange. One character is a pink ostrich that can fly and has a little girl riding on its back, but you're controlling the ostrich.
Yeah.
And there's also a like Venus man-eating flytrap plant, like Little Shop of Horrors style, that can walk around and attack enemies and bite them and stuff. So, and the graphics and everything, I mean, it's 1997.
Yeah, of course,
so
the graphics are going to be great.
Yeah, the 2D had gone about as far as it could probably go at that point, and it's very well animated, and it's a really good game, really fun. It's got some additional elements in it that hadn't been seen before. Well, I guess it'd been seen before at that point, but still added to the gameplay, like building up your character's power by collecting, you know, money and stuff.
Right,
the shop.
Mm-hmm.
Your characters also have character-specific, like, buffs and stuff. Like, you can, one character can use and utilize a special power where it doubles his attack power and things like that. So there's a lot going on with the game. It's a really fun game. The only way you're going to be able to play it is on MAME, probably.
Yeah, unless you can find a cabinet. Which,
good luck. Yeah, I've never seen one. Never.
Yeah.
I didn't even know about this game until I started getting into emulation. Mm-hmm. So.
Right. Well, Battle Circuit is a good game, but another great underrated game that I think a lot of people have heard about is Alien vs. Predator.
Oh, yeah. This game is a little easier to find in arcades. And,
yeah.
Oh, man. I think, in my opinion, this is probably Capcom's best 2D brawler.
No, it's a tall order.
It is a tall order, but it's really, like, it includes everything. It's got guns and that mayhem of the Punisher.
Yeah.
With different weapons and different guns you can use. You have a gun you can use at all times that will overheat if you overuse it, so it's important to use it strategically.
Right.
And you can be either two human characters or two different versions of the Predator.
Right.
And they're all completely different and play completely different.
And, man, this game is hectic, too. There's so much shit blowing up.
Oh, yeah. Bullets, it's manic.
Bullets firing every direction. Like,
yeah, it's manic, and it's really fun to play with multiple players.
And it's got Alien and Predator. Like, I mean, that's...
Yeah, I mean, who doesn't...
As far as licenses go, that's probably the most badass you can get.
Who doesn't want to be a Predator tearing apart aliens? And I mean, you're tearing them apart. The violence in this game is graphic. Like, the Predator, he has moves where he literally will grapple with the alien and rip him apart with his blades on his hands.
Yeah. It's a game like this that really makes me wish they would make a beat 'em up for the Terminator franchise.
That would be great, actually. Yeah. I'm surprised they didn't have an answer to that around this time. But unfortunately, again, Alien vs. Predator, another game that was arcade exclusive.
Yes.
You couldn't play it at home.
Yeah. Fire up that meme.
It'll be worth it. Trust me. It's a really fun game.
Yeah. And like I said, there's not really much to say about it with most of these games, but Alien vs. Predator, you know, just based on the license and the fact that they didn't fuck it up,
it's
worth playing.
Yeah, I mean, it's the ultimate evolution in Capcom 2D Brawl. I mean, it's got that Streets of Rage feel to it, where all the characters are almost like fighting game characters.
Right, yeah.
Where they all are so different and have moves that only they can do.
I wish the movie was as good as this game.
I agree. Actually, even the plot to this game is way better than the movie.
Yeah.
Everything about it is better than the movie.
Yeah. Well, we got one more underrated game for you, and then we're going to talk about the future, where Brawlers have been in the past 10 years. But Growl is pretty interesting. It's a Brawler for the PETA set.
Yeah, this is a PETA-approved video game.
Yeah.
Growl, this was Taito. Who also did, of course, Renegade.
Right.
And the Kunio Kun series that we talked about. River City Ransom, of course, everyone knows that game.
Mm-hmm.
Growl, not as good as those games. It's more like a Double Dragon, if anything.
Right.
It's a little stiffer and a little more primitive, but the graphics are really good in this game.
Right.
There's explosions all over the screen. It kind of reminds me of El Viento.
Yeah.
In a way.
Right. And I love that, you know, you're fighting poachers, and, like, they always, like, have, like, these little terrible sound bites. What are you doing here?
It's kind of cool because, for instance, you'll come across an elephant in a cage.
Yeah.
And beat up the captors of it and break open the cage, and then the elephant will trample everyone on the screen. There's other cool things in it, too, like a lot of destructibility in the environment, and a lot of different weapons. I mean, you can get a freaking rocket launcher.
Yeah.
So it's a really good game, actually. Very underrated. Again, another game I'd never heard of before emulation.
Right.
But definitely something that people should check out.
Mm-hmm.
And if nothing else, it's really got some good camp value with the storyline.
Yeah, I'd have to say so.
Fight for the animals!
I don't know. I like seeing 2D brawlers that have a slightly different take on the old formula of vigilantes taking the city back or rescuing their girlfriend.
And that's one thing
that's
kind of cool. About the genre. I mean, like we said, one of its downfalls was that it was so oversaturated, but then inversely, one of the benefits of it being so oversaturated is there's so many different games with so many different crazy themes in it.
Yeah, you have a lot of freedom to,
right.
I don't know, I guess break the fourth wall and think outside the box. You know,
what genre can you play a game that will play almost exactly like another one, but in one you're a robotic baseball ninja, and then in another one you're just like a typical street tough.
And this is also like, you know, an ode to that time where like video games were everywhere. I mean, there were so many video games produced at that time compared to today.
Yeah.
Like compared to today.
Oh, yeah. More than you could ever feasibly play. I mean, it's still true of that.
We're talking about like anticipated titles at least once every few months.
And the divide between companies wasn't so, you know, strong. I mean,
yeah.
There wasn't, you know, AAA title, C title. I mean, there were, but the games, a lot of them were very comparable to each other.
Yeah, and this is also, I think, the reason that, like, there was so many games and so much crap, really, too, is there really wasn't the level of consumer knowledge that we have now.
No.
Because now with the internet and video gaming magazines, of course they had them back then, but they weren't as prevalent. Everyone basically knows if a video game's going to be terrible. Like, you don't have to blindly buy something based on the box.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it wasn't like back then, I had no idea a Ninja Turtles arcade game, for instance, existed. One day I just walked into an arcade and it was there.
Yeah.
I didn't read about it for 12 months before it came out. I didn't know every little thing about the game.
I guess it's a good thing in some respects because, you know, no one likes terrible games. You know, we could definitely do less of them. But at the same time, it gave developers, I guess, more freedom to try new things.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, how comforting is it that if you like just one of the brawlers we talked about today, there's at least probably 60 others out there that in their own way are just as good or just as fun and enjoyable.
Right.
It's not like, oh, I like Mass Effect 2. Well, that's all you got. Sorry. There's no other.
Wow.
Yeah, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, and it's the Old Republic and other.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know.
There definitely isn't as much freedom of choice in today's gaming landscape as there was back then.
So yeah, the 2D brawling genre is pretty much dead.
Right.
But there are some more recent games that kind of revive the feel.
Yeah, we've talked about the old at length at this point. I mean, there's, like we said, so many. I would love to talk about, say, Sengoku 3 on Neo Geo and games of that ilk. But yeah, there's so many that we'd never be able to tackle it. So
I mean, with this episode, we were only planning on doing like 45 minutes. We're already over an hour, right? Just because,
yeah, it's just so many.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's talk about the current state of the 2D brawler, which isn't as good as it could be.
No, of course not. You have Castle Crashers, like I said, is probably one of the more recent 2D brawlers that does it right.
Right, and if you aren't familiar with it, maybe you've heard of Alien Hominid, which is a lot like Metal Slug and Contra. And
this is by Behemoth Studios.
Right,
which,
the same guys.
It's Tom Fulp of Newgrounds.com, which is a Flash community.
Right. So whereas Alien Hominid was their ode to Contra and Metal Slug, this is their ode to Double Dragon, Final Fight, Streets of Rage.
Yeah, Castle Crashers is available on Xbox Live. It's a great game. They really kind of revived the genre and did surprisingly well. The boss battles are huge. The enemies litter the screen, never really slows down.
Reminds me a lot of a Treasure game.
Yeah.
You can definitely see the Guardian Heroes influence.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. Yeah, Castle Crashers is one of them. God Hand for PS2 is another game it's like a 3D brawler, actually. Right. It's not 2D. But that has a cult following for some reason.
Yeah, it's an interesting game, an enjoyable game, but a very repetitive and very challenging game.
It's definitely hard.
Yeah, I don't know. A lot of people say, oh, this is, you know, it's going back to the classic 2D brawler style, blah, blah, blah. Mm. Well, so does, for instance, Ninja Gaiden, God of War. I mean, those are 3D evolutions in a lot of ways of those classic games. And I'd rather play those than God Hand. But I guess it has its place. And if you want a more simplistic version of a game like that, you might want to check it out and give it a play.
Yeah, like you said, God of War, Devil May Cry. These are all kind of games that they aren't necessarily brawlers, but they take a lot of influence from the classic 2D brawlers.
Right.
You know, just with the enemies, the special moves, you know, it's basically the 2D brawler finally finding its place in today's generation of gaming.
But, you know, what about the retro gamer? We have, you know, your 3D platformers, for instance, but we also have a slew of classic 2D styled ones to choose from.
Right.
Where are our 2D brawlers in our greatest time of need?
Yeah.
We've got, you know, Castle Crashers talked about, but where are there? There are some. There's no Streets of Rage 4, but there is, for instance, the Streets of Rage PC remake.
Right.
It's not even a company, it's a collective of independent gamers that produce this.
And it looks great. I mean,
it's unfortunately Windows only.
Yeah, the graphics are up-resed. The environments look more, they're more destructible, at least that's what it seems like from the footage I've seen.
It's a complete revolution. There's transparency effects. The music is all remixed by a very well-known overclocked remix guy. So it's got everything you'd want. Every character from the series plus a bunch of additional ones. Every character has new moves. It includes every single level from all the old games and a bunch of original ones. I mean, if you like Streets of Rage, just freaking play it. It's awesome. And it was done independently. And it's free.
Yeah.
Why can't Sega do something like this? Sega they could just take this and publish it.
Yeah, I know.
They don't even have to develop it.
You know, maybe they're gonna be looking outside the
box.
Right,
like
a little
we said earlier, they've been talking a little bit about their classic franchises.
And
Streets of Rage was dropped. But Streets of Rage is always dropped by Sega. I mean, we talked about Rondo of Blood and waiting 17 years for that to come out. We've been waiting, I think, about 17 years for another Streets of Rage game.
Yeah.
I mean, why can't Capcom or Sega, at least on a portable, do a new Streets of Rage? How hard could it be to do a good 2D brawler? Is it really that tough in today's gaming climate to produce a simplistic game like that?
Yeah. I guess it's more about the fact that the genre is dead in the water.
Right. Not a lot of people clamoring for it.
No, there aren't. But, you know, I could definitely see there's room in this because we are having kind of a resurgence of the retro game. It's kind of gaining in popularity.
And also, they have been doing a little bit in the way of remaking things. Like, for instance, Konami did a... Well, they didn't do it themselves, but they let a developer produce a Turtles in Time remake, which you can download on Xbox Live, etc. But unfortunately, it's not not get great.
Yeah.
I'd rather play the original. It's kind of a half-assed attempt.
Yeah. Well,
I would like to see a full-assed attempt by somebody, especially in the case of maybe a Streets of Rage revival or a Final Fight revival that isn't Final Fight Streetwise.
Yeah, yeah. Who knows? Maybe a Battletoads revival?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Why not? Come on, Rare. I mean, why not? I mean, Microsoft, get Rare doing something with Battletoads. Who cares about Conker?
Yeah, I was going to say, when's the last time Rare put out anything of note anyway?
Yeah, it's been ages.
Yeah, but, you know, the Brawler, we loved it. It had its time, but now it seems like it's all but dead.
Right, but, I mean, on a positive note, I mean, with the popularity of portable systems nowadays, there's definitely room for a little bit of a resurgence in the genre.
Say so.
And I mean, I never, don't get me wrong, I don't want to get too nostalgic here. I never wanted to go back to the time when every week there was another 2D brawler out and a lot of them were of poor quality. I don't want to go back to that era. I just want to see a revival of sorts, just a few new good ones.
Yeah.
That's all.
Is that so much to ask?
I don't think so.
No, it's not.
I mean, at the end of the day, we can all say it's enjoyable to sit down with your friends and beat people up. And now we can do it and drink beer at the same time.
Because we've grown. The full-fledged adults that spend their time talking about old video games.
So hopefully, you know, one of those 300 or so downloads is somebody from Konami or Capcom or Sega, and they're listening and
they'll
do something about it. Oh, I doubt it too, but please, somebody out there,
well,
do something.
I guess that wraps it up.
I am crying out.
I mean, as much as we lament the loss of 2D brawlers, I just don't see a resurgence in the near future.
Yeah, I don't see much hope. Maybe, like I said, another Streets of Rage or something, but
that'll
always be the dream.
All right, well.
We always have our memories of Turtles and punks and mayors
getting garbage hamburgers,
mayors pile driving women into the pavement. We'll always have that. So thank you everyone, Capcom, Konami, Sega, Taito, Technos, for the 2D brawler, a time capsule.
We will miss you.
Of a genre.
All right, well, I guess that wraps up this episode of Pixel Dreams. Sorry if the recording quality is a little different. We were forced to record in a different location because my landlord decided to construct a house in my parking lot.
This is guerrilla radio, folks.
Yeah.
We do it wherever we can. It doesn't matter the location. It's all about the games. All about the love of the game.
Yeah. But tune in next week, hopefully, for another episode of Pixel Dreams. And I don't know what we'll be talking about, but I'm sure it'll be on par with this one at least.
And in the interim, please, if you manage to kick open a garbage can or something and find a moldy hamburger inside or a bottle of vitamins, don't grab it. Don't eat it. Please.
Video games lie.
Leave it to Cody and Guy and Axel and Blaze.
All right. Well, thanks for listening to us. And please tune in next week for another exciting episode of Pixel Dreams.